big nuclear time bombs. Holy overeating. Holy roller coasters.
It's time.
It's time.
It's time for the Lion Sidekick Podcast.
Hey, 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 heroes. Welcome back for another episode of the YM Sidekick Podcast. I'm Tom Pounder, your host, and this is where ministers come to get some cool tips and tricks and ideas on how to do ministry more effectively in a very digital and online world. And today I'm excited to have a first-time guest, Joe Radosevich, on the podcast with me. And Joe is a pastor up at Belgium Community Church in Wisconsin. Yes, you heard that right. Belgium Community Church in Wisconsin, not in Belgium. And we talk about that in the interview a little bit, but it's really cool. But we talk about four digital tools that you can use for your local community. See, here's the cool thing I like about digital tools is that oftentimes we think about digital tools to help us expand our reach in ministry as a way to reach the world. And as an online campus pastor, is one of my roles, I do that. I use the online tools to expand my reach around the world so that we can reach more people for Christ. But Joe is using these digital tools to reach his local community. So it fits right in line with what he's trying to do. He's trying to reach locally, and he's using these four digital tools. So it's really cool to see what he's doing. And I think it's awesome because a few of them are free, but a few of them are paid, but they're not a lot of money. So anybody can do it, whether you're a big church or a small church, anyone can use these digital tools. So I think they're really cool, and I'm really excited about the conversation. So without any further ado, let's get into the conversation now with Joe talking about digital tools you can use to reach your local community. All right, with me right now is Joe Radosevich. Joe, how are you?
I'm doing well, man. Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm glad you're on. Okay, so now correct me if I'm wrong, but you and I first met each other over online, obviously, because we've never met in person. But was it through like Twitter or social media, or was it through the Digital Bootcamp Facebook group?
So I think it started with, I found your podcast and something that you'd written when I was really thinking through some digital stuff and was like, okay, I need to follow this guy. And then I got connected to the group and then we got connected individually.
Nice. Okay, good. Yeah. Because I knew we've had a lot of conversations on Digital Bootcamp. So, I didn't know the correlation that I couldn't remember that, but well, I'm pumped to have you on. So again, I know your background a little bit and, but some people on the podcast may not. So why don't you tell people a little bit about what you do and how you got started in ministry?
So I'm pastor of Belgium Community Church. It is the only Belgium Community Church in the world. So we're actually located in Wisconsin, but we regularly get people from Belgium looking for a church who reach out to us.
So I had
to find a church in Brussels to point people to. Belgium Community Church is halfway between a church plant and a church replant. Okay. It's a church that had existed for 20 years, but then after, long story, went through a long decline and decided to intentionally close their doors so that the church could be restarted, replanted. So it's really closer to a church plant than like a revitalization kind of a deal.
Okay.
We are located about 30 minutes north of Milwaukee, which means that especially for young families that can't afford a house in really the wealthy suburbs, you know, just north of Milwaukee, they are moving up and buying a first home in this area. So it's half dairy farmers with, you know, 150 years worth of history in this area. And, you know, actually it's more like a third dairy farmers with a long history and two thirds young families buying their first home, but really working outside of town. So I'm pastor here. Long story short, I have a failed church plant. The Lord really taught me a ton through that. I'm super grateful for that because it means that what he's doing right now in our church, I don't take credit for. I'm just grateful to be along for the ride. And that's kind of our situation.
And how long have you been there?
We've lived here for 2 years. The first 6 months were spent actually renovating the building because it was kind of a wreck. It really needed a renovation and gathering a core team. And so the church has just in February celebrated 1 year. So we're about 15 months since we held our first service.
Okay, cool. Well, one of the questions I like to ask all the interviewees that I'm talking to is how's the weather? And in particular, again, now the weather in where you're at right now, it could be pretty cool, but how's the weather come wintertime? Is it unbearable or is it okay?
So the thing about winter in Wisconsin is you can always put on more clothes.
Okay.
I grew up in the South, so people here always, they know you're a Southern boy. Like, what are you doing up here? And they go, how do you handle it? Well, the truth is you can always put on more layers, more coats.
Yeah.
This year, just like most places, we had a polar vortex. And so it was pretty crazy as far as temperature goes. The issue with Wisconsin is winter lasts from October to May, end of May.
Yeah.
And you have basically 4 months of summer.
Yeah.
So really it's the length of winter, not the intensity of it, that's the issue here.
Okay, that's interesting, because I my freshman year of college, I went to a school in Erie, Pennsylvania. I only stayed there 1 year because literally it snowed on Halloween, and then Lake Erie was still semi-frozen on May 15th when I left. And so I was like, I cannot be here. This is entirely too long to be this cold. So it was just kind of really interesting.
Yeah, because we're located on Lake Michigan, we end up having cooler temperatures longer than, say, if you went 20 miles west of us,
okay,
you would actually have an earlier spring than you do in our town.
Interesting.
But, yeah.
Cool. Well, I'm sure we could talk about weather and all that kind of stuff around your church, but we're here to talk about digital stuff and how you're using digital tools for your community. So just to give, paint a very broad stroke here. What kind of digital tools are you using in your community to kind of attract local people?
The front door of our church we see is online, because most people that connect with us there first, mm-hmm. and sometimes for months. I mean, there's people that still connect with us online before, and they've never been in our building. So we use our website as a front door. We use Facebook pretty extensively, because 70% of our community is on Facebook.
Cool.
Dabble in Instagram and YouTube. The reason I say dabble is because up until really recently, we haven't had enough volunteers to own that and really make those things good. Mm-hmm. But we are aware that, hey, there's actually a lot of young people and a lot of traffic on those sources. Mm-hmm. So, and then other things we use Google Maps. We make a big deal out of our Google My Business page. We make a big deal out of, I personally try to review as many things on Google Maps as I can, so that the local business owners know, which they would know me anyway, just from being involved in the community, but like they have a good review and a good and personal detailed review from me on their website.
Now, you've experimented with Waze too, haven't you?
Yeah. For Easter, we also used Waze this year as a billboard. I think it's a really interesting use. It's not super expensive. And since we're located on an interstate, mm-hmm. and most of the people in our town, you know, commute to work, we end up getting a lot of, for a super cheap cost, we get a lot of reach, because we're one of the few things. It's gas stations and our church that are located on Waze.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, we have a fairly distinctive logo. And so having a little billboard located on the Waze map is kind of cool.
Yeah, so I'm not very familiar with Waze. So, and I know you and I have talked about this a little bit, but explain for people who may not understand this a little bit, how does that work? How does the billboard work?
So on Waze, you've seen the map, just like Google Maps. Mm-hmm. And you can, there's something you can do with Google, but I'm having some issues getting that up and running. But you can pay minimum $2 a day, but we never spent $2 a day. We never hit that much traffic.
Okay.
And you can pay to have a little billboard located on Waze, so that when somebody's, you know, GPS or phone gets close enough to your location, then they will see a little billboard for your church or for your car wash or for your gas station.
Okay.
They can click on that and see a little bit more information, and then click further and go all the way in.
Nice. Okay.
There is another way where you can actually take over the device with an ad when they stop, say at a stop sign.
Okay.
I wasn't able to do that either for budget reasons, or there has something to do with our kind of profile that I wasn't allowed to do that. And honestly, it's not super helpful for us because of our location.
So you used that for Easter. And then, so when someone kind of came by it and the billboard, if they clicked it, would it be like an Easter kind of landing page of sorts?
Yeah, we had an Easter landing page for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so The billboard says is our logo. Super simple. You can all, so people kind of know BCC in this area is Belgium Community Church. If you click on it, we had a short message. Kind of the tagline for the series for Easter was to go from drifting to destiny.
Yeah.
And the service times and stuff about our church, just real short, because that first pin you can't see that much.
Yeah.
That's what we ended up doing.
That's cool. Okay, cool. I really like that idea. Well, I've never experimented with this. And in fact, I don't even use Waze, although my daughter will use Waze. She likes to use Waze a lot. So she'll use it when she's driving, but I never use Waze. So I'm always kind of curious about how that works. Okay, so you talk about the Google My Business stuff. How do you optimize that best so that you can have good local reach?
So what I actually did a presentation to our local Chamber of Commerce on this for their businesses. If you're 40 and under, whenever you're looking for something, you type into Google, church near me, restaurant near me, insurance agent, whatever. You're just typing into Google. And Google, as one of their sidebar issues, will just pop up the most relevant things. Mm-hmm. And so the profiles that are most filled out and have the most information pop up first. And so if you're within 10 miles of us, our church's profile is the most optimized. And people have told me, I mean, one gun guy in particular said, yeah, I knew that there was a church near, you know, that you guys were somewhere around. So I searched for it. It brought it up and showed me that there's, I don't know, 11 pictures or whatever. And I've gone through and we've had people in our church go through and take all sorts of pictures and upload them so that you get an idea of what our building looks like, mm-hmm. The type of people that come, that there's a picture of me as the pastor. And there's as much information as we can do. And then we always upload our latest series graphic. As a local post so that Google knows, hey, they're constantly updating their stuff. Mm. So then you can go, hey, we were doing a series called Unleash a couple months back. It's got a picture of a lion with the word unleash and an invitation in that post.
Yeah.
Coming up, we're going to be doing one called Wisdom and Folly. We're going to have that photo post there. And so it's updated and optimized because people will go there before they click through to our church website.
This is really interesting because, again, I don't use Google My Business very much myself. And this is very interesting because I feel like this is almost like free advertisement, right? I mean, you get to upload stuff that's happening and it's for free, correct?
Yeah. And a lot of people think, oh, you have to pay for this, and you don't. And a couple principles that this is kind of built on for me and for our church is, one, I believe very strongly in making a circle around your church mm-hmm. and saying, we're going to reach these people.
Yeah.
This is a fairly small area, but within 10 miles, we've got 40,000 people. 15 miles, we've got 40,000 people. Mm. And I said, hey, we're going to make a circle around our church and reach this town and be a part of reaching this region, along with some other towns have good churches. Our town doesn't. We have nobody to share responsibility for. And then we believe in the principle of 10%, that missions concept, that if you can reach and disciple and equip 10% of the population, they can reach the other 90. And so we try to use all of these digital tools to say, hey, let's reach the people that are right here and then track, hey, how many people are paying attention to what we're doing in our local area? And so and Google My Business is the first thing that people see. They may not go to our Facebook page and they may not go to our website, but if they look for a church, they're going to see our stuff with our logo and with what the pastor looks like and what a Sunday morning service looks like.
Because again, breaking this down a little bit clearer, when you're saying they're looking for your church, they type in Belgium Church or something like that. Your Google My Business stuff is one of the first things that pops up, correct?
Right.
Yes.
And it's the only complete one. If you look throughout, I mean, if you go beyond Belgium and you go all around us, ours is more complete than anybody else's.
Yes.
I'm honestly not happy with our level of reviews. Actually, I don't think we have any. I've asked several of the people that have connected to our church through that mm-hmm. page specifically to give us reviews for whatever reason. You know, life gets busy and they just haven't done that yet, even though they've said, hey, yeah, I'll do that.
Yeah, and that's really important. But I think that's really important what you've done about making sure that is the case, because honestly, they're not going to Facebook to type in looking for churches in Belgium. Their first stop is Google or Yahoo, but even when you do Yahoo, search results will come up with Google stuff. And so I think that's really important. And that's a great thing that you're doing. So that's awesome. I got to check our Google My Business for our church and see where we're at with that. Because again, uploading those pages, I mean, those pictures, I always say real people doing real things. People want to see that. And you uploading those pictures, they see real people. They get to see what your church looks like. Are you able to do videos on there too, or no?
You can do videos. We haven't done videos yet. But yeah, you can do videos. And I'm with you. I'm big on having real people in pictures. I don't particularly love taking selfies, but people want to see other people. And a sunset means nothing. But if you're in it and there's a sunset behind you, it's way cooler. And people really love that. And so if our focus is reaching the people right around our church, then they want to know who's the pastor. I'm not trying to build some big brand. I'm not trying to be national. I'm not interacting with national pastors on anything, unless it's in digital boot camp or in one of the other Facebook groups that I'm in. Yeah. I have nothing to do with any of that, but people want to see people. So we put videos and pictures of me or other people in our church because just people are so important and they want to know, hey, can I fit in this place?
See, this is what I love about our conversation right now is that I think when often we think about advertising and using digital tools to reach out, I think we think big scale stuff. We have to do all this massive stuff. And what you're talking about is some really simple things. The Waze thing, an app that is used very often by a lot of people, and you said you could use as little as $2 a day, that's really cheap. And then you talk about Google My Business, which is free, and it provides a lot of great opportunities for people to learn more about your church. I think that's fantastic.
Yeah, we try to build everything really around personal invites because, I mean, that's going to make the biggest difference if somebody invites a friend. But what I've noticed is people use online stuff to give personal invites. Mm-hmm. One woman in our church said, hey, I invited my friend, and I shared, I don't know if it was website or Facebook or what it was, and the friend went, is your pastor really that nice? Mm-hmm. Because what I ended up realizing, this is a community where the priest used to get up drunk. You know, there's really awful stories of the things that used to happen in this area. Now, the Catholic Church has closed and combined with another one in a different town. Mm-hmm. And so some of that stuff people don't know about if you're new. But like people want to know, what's the pastor really like? Yeah. Is he crazy? So the stuff that I've talked about, anybody can do. But I also do lots of crazy, you've seen them, weird videos and random stuff with my kids. Because people want to know, what's the pastor really like? Like, this is what he looks like wearing mud boots in the backyard. This is what life is really like. And in a small town, then that goes a long way because people don't trust the pastors when abuse has been happening and, you know, drunk priests are around and all of that stuff. So we're trying to give people a window into, this is what our church is really like, and let's give you encouragement where you really are.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
I'll tell you one other thing that we do that I think is we really focus on, you know, especially in our Facebook page, Instagram, like I said, we're trying to start using that and roll that a little bit, is try to figure out how do we actually equip and encourage people where they're at, believing that then they will connect with us in person. And so we really might only do one invite to anything per week online.
Okay.
We try to put up scriptures, quotes from sermons, videos from sermons. I make a weekly video, and we often put ad dollars behind that little weekly video on some devotional issue because we will end up seeing more people see that than attend a church on Sunday.
Yeah.
And people say, hey, it was the online stuff that connected me to this church in advance. And I care about the people that aren't just going to walk into our church because they're not, you know, raised in the church and spent their whole life in the church. They're struggling with addiction and those kind of things. Mm-hmm. And so we're trying to say, hey, we can encourage you and equip you where you're at during the week.
Yeah.
And if we do that, then you'll be more likely to come see us on a Sunday.
So, yeah, I really like that because I've talked about in my strategy. Now, I'll tell my strategy and I'll tell you this, that I often fail at this strategy because, you know, people are constantly saying, hey, can you promote this on Facebook? Can you promote this on Facebook? But I really think the biggest impact you can have on Facebook is when you engage with people and you inspire them. And the more you can engage with them, the more you can inspire them, then you can give them information later. But again, we post regularly that we have our church services at 8, 9, 30, and 11, and I post that towards the end of the week. But I like what you say there is that, you know, you want people to connect and you feel like that if they connect there, it's going to have a greater impact. And I like how you inspire them and encourage them throughout the week. So break it down a little bit for you. You say you got scripture. What is your video that you do? I'm curious to see what video you do.
We call it the Midweek Minute, and I use my phone, which my phone, I specifically wanted a pure Android with a dual camera, and so I've got a Moto G6. So that's not even
the nicest. Boo, by the way, boo on the Android, boo.
it's not even the nicest phone out there, but I use that with some specific apps so I can mess with the lighting. I can give it a specific look. We call it the Midweek Minute, and I take anywhere from 2 minutes to 6 minutes going through some kind of topic or some kind of recommendation. And man, we see people all the time they'll reach out and be like, 6 months ago, you had a video and you recommended a book. Can you tell me what that was? Yeah. Or they'll, you know, begin reading the Bible, a storybook Bible with their kids because of a recommendation that had been in that video. We have people that don't attend our, and this is what's kind of crazy. We have so many people in our community that do not attend our church that follow us and that root for us, like wanting our church to do well, telling other people you should go to this church, even though they never come to our church. And so they watch these, like this week, usually I don't do any kind of an announcement, but this week the new series is going to touch on some topics that mom and dad kind of need to be prepared in advance for. I mean, Proverbs 1-9 over the next 6 weeks, that's going to deal with some topics having to do with sex inside marriage and sex outside mm-hmm. marriage and those kind of things. So I'm going to say, hey, here's some books that we like to read with our kids, because all of us have to deal with the topic. All of us have to talk to our kids about sex. It's awkward. It's weird. The kids get grossed out or they start laughing. Hey, here's some books that help make it a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. Let me give you a couple tips on that. And so that's going to be what this week's Midweek Minute is. Maybe it'll do well. Maybe it won't do well. But just by doing that, you know, a little bit at a time, we're trying to encourage mom and dad during the week to raise their kids in the Lord and not just be like, hey, bring your kids because we got a good class this week.
Yeah. Wow, dude, this is awesome. I mean, because I really like what you're sharing here, because these are all different ways that you're incorporating stuff to really reach out and minister to your community. And when you say you put some ad dollars behind this, what kind of price range are you putting behind that?
$7 a week. So, yeah. So when we made up the budget, I mean, we're a church plant with some funding from our denomination. When we made that, I planned the budget for this last year to be $30 a month online, plus $100 on online ads for big days, Christmas, Easter, and our big series kicking off the fall. And so most of the stuff that I'm sharing, I just picked up from guys like you, Brady Shearer, Seth Muse, some of those different places. And our skill is we just don't know any better and we just do it. I don't have a big staff that I have to try and spend a lot of time administrating. So we just do these things. Mm-hmm. And so one of the boo-boos that we do is we just take one of these and then boost the post. But for this kind of video, $7 with a boost works to just get that in front of some more people. Again, we put a geographic radius on the video. It's not sent to people that already like our page. It's to the people in our community that don't like our page. And we usually get 5 to 6 shares, sometimes 10, and, you know, easily several hundred to a few thousand. But in a town of 3,000, a $7 ad budget done week after week, several thousand people in the community see it, you know, in a given month, then that's, you know, a lot of drips that over time, we're going to be the church they think of when they're going through a crisis at home, when they're struggling. We're going to be the place that says, hey, but not only do they volunteer in the community, but we see them during the week in our Facebook feeds. Let's go to that place.
Yeah. This is awesome, because again, I love too that you're a small church and you're doing this and you're putting some money around. I think when we think about Facebook ads and other kind of ads that we do, we have to spend hundreds of dollars. And of course you can spend hundreds of dollars, but again, my ad budget is $25 a month for my online campus that I do. And then we do have an increase of $100, or I can go probably as much as $200 total for the whole church on big events, you know, that we really want to promote. So I think that's awesome that you're maximizing the online stuff. You're reaching a lot of people locally, and you're using that Facebook stuff. I want to pivot a little bit to your website again, because when we're talking about Google My Business stuff, they're obviously then going to probably click your website. So how have you optimized your website to make it representative of you and good for the first time viewer to come? Like what have you included on that to make it good for them?
So we're about to redo that.
Okay.
Because I want to test some things out, take that a little bit farther. But what we did with that is we made the very front page have all the information a guest would want to have. Okay. Like the front page is for guests. It's not for our church members. Okay. It starts with, hey, this is when we meet and where we meet at, so you can come. I basically went to checklists. Like Brady Shearer had a checklist. Several other places had checklists. And I just said, okay, that's going to be what our front page is. Mm-hmm. So first thing is an invitation with a service time. I believe the second thing is a picture of me and my family with a short bio. Mm-hmm. Then the next thing is some frequently asked questions, like what do we wear? What do we do with kids? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the denomination? Those kind of things. So people have those frequently asked questions. And then it has to do with the vision and values of the church. Yeah. All on that front page, you get everything that you would, that is, goes on the best church websites. What I'm wanting to explore right now is, what would we like to take the story brand framework and make the, make a cover page for guests using that. Actually, that's what I'm wanting. I've mocked that up and I'm kind of toying with that just to see, hey, would this actually be more helpful to a guest than just the simple, you know, sermon checklist. And then we have a community page that basically everything we do on Facebook goes there so that people know there's things going on in this church.
Yeah.
Again, we don't want people to just go, well, I'm having trouble in my marriage, but Sunday morning at 10:15, they could help me. Mm-hmm. Instead, it'd be like, hey, there's some encouragement here, what it means to have an identity in Christ right now, mm-hmm. right here when I'm on this website. And then we have a podcast feed list, it's the listen page. Again, we don't have huge downloads, but our focus is local. We do get people download, and I'll get text messages or messages from people, again, in our community that do not attend our church. They, you know, identify as Catholic or whatever else. And they're like, man, I really love listening to the sermons from this church. Mm-hmm. So we have a listen page, and then we have a giving page. So that's what our website looks like. Again, we may pivot and do a kind of a cover page for guests, but
This is fantastic. My mind is like exploding with so many different questions I have, but I'm going to have to save these for another podcast, because I mean, you've got a ton of great knowledge here. You've got a lot of things that you're experimenting with and working on. And I love what you're doing.
Let me tell you one thing that I just, if I could say something to somebody that's at church with multiple pastors, multiple staff, I've told several guys in our area, if we had the staff that you have, we would have two YouTube shows, just straight up. Mm. We would have a YouTube show just for the community about behind the scenes, some things that are going on. And we would have one for kids or teenagers, either one, because all the kids in our area are on those things all of the time. Mm-hmm. We're figuring out how do we chop up the sermon and do some cool stuff with that. Yep. But like, if you have a multi-staff church and the kids in your community are constantly on YouTube, I'm not sure why you wouldn't have a short devotion there. Not, hey, let's be some kind of national brand. A good way of putting it is, I want to be the Elevation Church of Belgium community, mm-hmm. of the Belgium area. Like, I don't need to be national. Somebody may or may not want to have anything to do with that. But I just want everybody in this community to know about what the Lord is doing among us and know that Jesus loves them right where they're at. And then we're joining him in that. Yeah. And so online is really just an extension of that, not a replacement for it. It's just part of it.
Yeah. This is awesome. Dude, you are really using a lot of these things. And I love how you're so focused on local, local, local. Carrie Newhoff did a blog post fairly recently that talked about the problems that social media causes pastors. And one of them is that they get so focused on all the other people that they forget the local people. And I love how you're just using all your tools, local, local, local. I think it's huge, man.
Yeah, and I actually have the same pet peeve that Carrie Newhoff has. I don't like it when pastors are constantly interacting on Twitter with the same articles and the same people and the same fight. Mm-hmm. When I'm like, social media is meant so that my neighbors have the ability to see what's happening in my life, see that Jesus has actually changed my life and can make, like, change their lives.
Yeah.
Social media is not so that I can interact with the guys I went to seminary with. It's actually so that I can interact with my community.
Yeah.
That's the way that it should actually be used.
This is encouraging. This is inspiring, man. So I really, really appreciate you sharing this. And again, I'm definitely having you on because we can go into a whole bunch of other things as you're exploring and doing different things. But before I let you go, how can people connect with you? I'm sure they're going to have lots of questions for you and would love to interact with you and see what you're doing. So where would you suggest people connect with you?
So I actually very intentionally don't have like any kind of Joe branded thing. Like I really do stuff either my personal Facebook page, my personal Instagram, and through our church, Belgium Community Church, there on Facebook. The biggest place probably to interact with me would be in the Digital Bootcamp group. I interact in the Seth Muse Seminary of Hard Knocks group and the Church Media Hacks. Those are places where I like interact, ask questions, you know, answer other people's questions. Those are some, you know, ways to follow and interact. Like I said, since I'm not trying to be national and I want to communicate to our community, hey, mm-hmm. I'm not using you to try and build my career. I'm actually trying to, you know, we together are trying to reach this community. That's why mm-hmm. I do it that way.
Yeah, that's cool. That's very cool. Very intentional. I like how you just gave a little promo to Digital Bootcamp. So thanks for shouting. I'm a part. I'm a part of Seth's group too, and Seth's got a good group too.
Well, and that's the thing. I don't really feel like I've done a whole lot innovative. I mean, there's been a few things where I've pieced together some stuff, but I'm just in those groups learning and saying, okay, let's execute. Let's just do it. And so that's the advantage, is we're small enough to just do it. And yeah. So we just get good ideas from people like you and Seth, and then we just do it.
Yeah. No, that's great, dude. But you're encouraging. This is very inspiring for me. So, So Joe, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I'll talk to you later.
All right, so there you have it, my conversation with Joe. It was awesome having him on. It was great sharing these four digital tools. And I'm going to be honest, again, my reactions were legitimately real. I don't mess around with Waze very much. And Google My Business, I'm not as engaged with that as I need to be. But Google My Business is free, and Waze is pretty cheap. And, you know, when you work on your website and do some other things, use some other digital tools, you can make an impact, and it doesn't have to be costly, but you can make an impact on that. And so I would encourage you, try out some of these tools. Are you using these tools? And try out some new ones. I mean, I would love to hear what other tools you're using to reach your local community. I know, again, for instance, I use Snapchat when we're doing big events for geofilters. So, and those aren't expensive either. So there are lots of digital tools out there. What are you using, and what do you think about these that Joe and I talked about? I would love to hear your thoughts and comments on that. So hit me up on Twitter at TA Pounder. I would love to continue this conversation to see how we can best reach our local communities more for Christ. All right, one quick announcement before I get out of here is that I'm going to be at the Orange Conference the rest of the week. And so if you're at the Orange Conference, I would love to connect with you. You can just definitely DM me on Twitter at TA Pounder, and I'd love to connect with you in some way. But also, Corey Sullivan and I will be doing daily short podcast reflections about what we're experiencing throughout the day, what we heard, what we were challenged with, and inspired and encouraged with. So they're going to be really quick reflections. They'll be shorter podcasts, but they'll be coming out on Thursday and Friday. And we'll probably have a longer debrief of the Orange Conference the following week for my regular Wednesday podcast. All right, heroes. Well, again, thanks so much for joining me. As always, if you enjoyed the podcast, you can go to iTunes and subscribe to it, or you can go to ymsidekick.com. And there I've got the blog, the podcast, some vlogs, my Twitter ebook, and information about Digital Bootcamp, where you can learn digital tools, stuff like what Joe's learning, and we're all learning actually together. It's for every minister, whether you're a campus pastor or a student minister, children's minister, whatever ministry you're involved with. These are designed to be digital tools to help expand your reach in ministry. So we hope you join the free Facebook group on that. And you can get all that at ymsidekick.com. All right, heroes. Well, I hope you have a great rest of the day and a great rest of the week. And until next time, have a great one.